Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast number 58. I'm Adam.
I'm Alicia.
I'm Isabella.
With a mouthful. What are you eating? Nothing. Okay, fine. And we watched an episode of Doctor Who. What was it called, Alicia?
Stuff.
The Almost People.
No.
Rebel Flesh?
Yeah.
So the next one must be called The Almost People then.
Yeah.
So. What was your synopsis? Oh, by the way, something really important about this episode. Rory's, on this one, did not die.
Didn't die in the first one.
And died in the story, though, didn't he? So he might die next week. Possibly. So, let's see and find out what Isabella thought of it. Isabella, in between mouthfuls.
And plus he didn't die last week.
Didn't he?
No.
Oh, I can't remember. What did you think of Doctor Who?
Good.
What happened?
You didn't even watch it.
Amy did not die.
Amy what?
Not died.
Is that it? Is that basically the synopsis of the story? 45 Amy minutes of television. Amy did not die. Anything else?
The Doctor did not die.
Well done.
What a fascinating story that was.
What happened?
Rory did not die.
Okay, good.
What else?
Thank you, Isabella. Go on.
I like the monsters.
You like the monsters? Mm-hmm. Didn't you find them scary?
No.
Good, that's good then, isn't it? I don't think they've achieved what their task was there, Alicia. I think they didn't.
Well, except the person who was hiding, Isabella.
I liked the thunder.
You like the thunder? Well, you received that on my lap during the episode. Do excuse listeners, mouthful. Isabella is currently stuffing a face full of French stick. So, Alicia, the synopsis of the...
my French stick.
French stick, yes. The synopsis of the story is basically...
I'm doing it now.
What?
They arrive in the castle where this... What are these people actually doing in this castle?
Stuff. Something to do with the government.
Something to do with acid and stuff, isn't it? To do with the solar flares? I can't remember.
Yeah, they're replicating people.
I want to do with acid. French.
Yeah, they're using this some flesh stuff to create avatars of themselves.
Yeah.
Where they wander around and do tasks that are life-threatening and therefore does not threaten themselves if they get killed, like falling in vats of acid like the bloke did. When he fell in, he was, oh, well, I'm dead, oh, well. After the girl slapped him on the back and he fell in. The Doctor, Rory and Amy arrive on what is actually looked like Caerphilly Castle and get involved in the whole thing. Pardon?
Mm-hmm.
The monsters have not died.
Thank you, Isabella. So, turns out that they think that these gangers, as they call them, are only alive whilst they're connected to the machine. But something happens and they become alive, full stop, don't they?
Mm.
The Doctor puts his hand in the liquid and communicates. Scans. And he realises that there's an intelligence in there. And then Rory has a sort of a, not a fling, but...
A crush.
A crush on the girl character. What was her name?
Jennifer.
Yeah.
Lucas.
So then you get to a situation where you can't understand, you can't be absolutely sure which ones are the real... people and which ones are the gangers.
Mm-hmm. Why are they called
gangers? Am I missing anything?
No, why are they called gangers?
Doppelgangers, dear.
What doppelgangers?
Just carry on and eat your dinner, eat your hula hoops.
Why are they called gangers?
Because it's short for doppelgangers. Doppelganger is a copy of somebody.
Oh.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you, Isabella.
How do you even know?
How do I know?
Not you, Isabella. Oh. How do you know?
You said the right word and said I say check.
Why?
Because I do.
Fine, what's two times two?
I do. Answer the question for Daddy.
Okay, good.
Do it.
What's the question?
Yeah, what was the question?
The question is, nobody died.
Thank you for that, Isabella, yes. I think we've established that.
Nobody died.
Nobody did die, though, did they?
Correct.
One did, though, didn't they? Yeah, the one of the gangers died, didn't
he? Yeah, someone did die.
Have I actually missed any of the synopsis, Alicia, of this story? Have I missed anything out? Basically, that is what the story is about, is it not?
Yeah.
Right. So, and the doctor, right at the end of it, they doppelganged.
My turn.
Doppelganged the doctor.
It's my turn next.
Is it your turn?
As long as it's relevant, please, Isabella.
The question is.
Yeah.
Somebody that would not die today, and then they lived happily ever after.
Oh, good. That's what they did last week, didn't they? Which is good. Alicia. So, what did you think of this story? Or episode, because it's not a full story yet.
So I'm waiting.
What?
What did you think of the story?
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah. You enjoyed it?
Yeah, it was kind of a bit scary at the beginning, because I didn't know what to expect from the monsters, but it was really good.
So, how would you rate it in out of 10 or out of 5? Compared with the other stories of the season?
Not as good as the other stories, but it is good still.
So is it?
I think it's kind of like a relaxing story. Yeah.
So is it better than the one on the pirate ship, Curse of the Black Spot?
No.
Is it better than The Doctor's Wife?
No.
Is it better?
It's one of the downer ones in the series. It's got quite good storyline, yeah. But it was quite confusing at the beginning. But the doctor's like, I think the doctor already knows him from somewhere else before.
Do you? What made you think that?
Because there's a scene when when he says you met him before. Someone asked him, "You met him before, haven't you?" And he doesn't reply.
Huh.
But I've got a funny feeling.
Ooh. I like your funny feelings. Come on.
But you know The Flash?
Yes.
I think we might be seeing Sontaran next story.
Yes, it was very similar to that stuff that Martha came out of in the Sontaran stratagem.
I think we're going to be seeing a Sontaran next episode.
Next episode? Not later on in the series. You think it's actually going to be the next episode?
Because it's the same stuff. And the thing that the Doctor already knows it's the same stuff.
Oh, and remember the scene at the beginning when they're wandering in and what looks like they look like Sontarans at a distance, don't they? Maybe that was a clue. Yes, Isabella.
The question is, nobody died.
We know. So your new catchphrase. It's not Amy fell down to the ground.
Put your hand up if.
If.
Put your hand up if. You know.
If I know. There we go. We have our hands up, yes?
Daddy.
What?
If somebody died. No,
One of the gangers died, was electrocuted by one of the characters.
Died. Correct.
Do you actually know what you're going on about, Isabella?
No, she doesn't.
And next.
Amy fell down to the ground.
So
I am talking next.
So, yes, this story, I would...
I'm talking.
No, I'm talking. It's like a typical sort of Doctor Who story, but slightly better than... Yeah. Certainly better than The Curse of the Black Spot. Not as good as Doctor's Wife. And let's see what a casual viewer thinks. Deborah, what do you think of this particular episode of Doctor Who we're referring to?
She was talking to Nan.
No, she was watching it.
I didn't think it was very good.
But you said that last week.
No, I just didn't enjoy it.
Why didn't you enjoy it? You actually paid attention to this story.
I didn't find it. I found it complicatedly... I just didn't enjoy it.
What did she say earlier on in it? Do you remember what she said earlier on when...
I'm gone.
No, not that specifically what she said. That something happened and she made a comment and made her think of something. Oh. Early on you said, is it something or other? And I can't remember what it was.
No, it can't be.
Oh, shut
is
up.
Is it?
I can't remember what
How
it was.
How did I get that?
Don't be rude.
No, something you said that sparked a thought in your mind and it started off.
I remember now.
And I
did start off.
This is why we should record people's reactions.
No,
I can't remember.
It's difficult.
And I talk now.
Oh, don't worry. No pressure. So, Alicia, you thought it was quite good.
Ow, you clipped my finger out of place.
Isabella actually watched the story and you didn't like it.
I didn't like it. No, I just didn't seem to like the story so much.
I liked it.
I didn't think the story... I don't know, it was just all complicated and there was bits and bits and bits and bits and bits. It didn't run as smooth as it should do to me. But
it's only half
but other people, perhaps that's why, because it's half a story and they crammed so much in to try and I don't know. It just isn't. It wasn't to me a Doctor Who story. It just.
What about was it better than last week's one though? Because last week's one has been heralded as a great Doctor Who story. Doctor's wife.
Oh yeah, I enjoyed that one. That was better. Because that was a Doctor Who story. This one's not.
Do you want to hear my theory?
Oh, she's got a theory. She's got a theory.
You know how I thought I said I've got an idea. You know the Ganger Doctor.
Yes, the Ganger Doctor looked like the Waters of Mars creatures, didn't they? Don't you think?
You know the Ganger Doctor?
Yes.
So could that be the Doctor who get killed by the astronaut?
That's what I think they're expecting you to think. But Stephen Moffat said it was the Doctor dying.
Oh.
But maybe the Ganger Doctor takes over from the...
Yeah, I know, that's what I mean.
So that becomes a Doctor in the dark.
No, I just found...
Two Doctors.
And if that is actually what happens, I think somebody has said that they'll be furious.
Yeah, I just found the storyline silly. It was just... I don't know.
Not
just
the storyline's...
No, it wasn't a very good one.
Okay.
No, it's not very good.
But no, your theory... It would be a bit transparent, though, wouldn't it, if it was actually the case that that did turn out to be the real Doctor gets killed... And gets replaced by the Doctor.
I like the way we both, you know, when that person, those lips came out of the liquid thing and said, trust me, we both said it's a Doctor.
Yeah, we both said that at the same time, didn't we? But also, when the first time you see Jennifer's face come out of the liquid, it looked exactly like Cassandra.
Yeah, it did.
And when we saw the preview clips of it, I thought actually they were sort of showing the how Cassandra was created.
She was stretched, weren't she? And stretched. Mm,
but it did look like it. Just the lips and the mouth was almost exactly the same. But no, I thought it was quite a good story. I quite enjoyed it. I didn't think it was that complicated. I think it was quite basic, quite gripping. The only thing I'm not liking about these current episodes is the fact they need to turn the lights on. It's very, very dark, all dingy and dark. There's not a lot of sunlight or anything, is it?
So, they're in a castle.
I know, but it's, all the stories...
They're in a monastery.
All the stories are very dimly lit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can read.
Supposed to give a darked effect.
I think it's just the era that we're in. I think all the Moffat-style stories are very dark. If you look back to his earlier episodes before he took over as producer, what was his first one? Empty Child, Doctor Dances, very darkly lit. Blink, very darkly lit. The only one that wasn't that darkly lit, although it had parts of darkly litness, was Girl in the Fireplace. And off she goes on her iPhone, just to keep in form.
Me and Mal are talking about Doctor Who.
No, you're not.
Here we are.
I have a turn.
Can you have a turn? Well, you can have a turn if you like.
I want to talk.
Well, quickly, because it's getting a bit...
Everyone knew all the Doctor was a monster. His face was turned into a monster.
Yes.
A bit like your face, then.
Like...
Yeah, I've seen it.
No, look.
Look in the mirror then. Oh, wait, you can't. You might crack it. Hello? Sorry.
My face is not cracked.
No, she's talking about the mirror.
I'm joking.
She's talking about the mirror.
I'm joking. I love you, Isabella.
What do you think of Alicia, Isabella?
I'm talking next.
Yeah, what do you think of Alicia?
Not pretty.
We're trying to talk about Doctor Who here.
Oh,
I need a hand.
Talking!
Well, go on then.
Put your hand up if you know somebody did not die.
Oh my god!
Put your hand up!
It's like the BBC of old. All these
put
repeats.
Put your hand up!
Nobody's going to put their hand up because you're repeating yourself.
You are allowed to put your hand up.
So what do you think is going to happen next week then, Alicia?
As a religious, I found out, yeah. I think we might see a Suntaran.
Oh, he said that, didn't he? Other than the Suntarans.
Put your hands up.
Mm.
I think... I make a prediction. You know you said, you think this is the doppelganger doctor's going to be the doctor in the you know, gets killed, etc. What I think is going to actually... Because I think they've thrown a hint, shush, darling, is that they're not stable, these doppelgangers, and I think they're all going to somehow just sort of disappear, and including the doctor's doppelganger. Yeah? No, okay.
Yeah.
Mm. So, well, Alicia, I know that was a bit brief, but I think we're going to have to move on to other things that we normally do on the show, such as feedback and eBay. later on with my very good friend, friend of the show, and US correspondent Kirby Bartlett Sloan. What do you think of Kirby, Isabella? What do you think of Kirby Bartlett Sloan?
Good.
What do you think of Kirby Bartlett Sloan? Oh dear.
Again.
No, shush.
Can you do it again?
Like what again? What do you want to? You start it. Do you want to start it?
No, next week, Alicia.
No. Oh, wait. Isabella, start it. Go on.
Put your hand up if you know nobly died.
I feel like we're on Disney Channel. Always repeat.
You put your hand up.
You put me off what I was trying to say. What was I trying to say? Next week, Alicia, we're not going to be able to watch Doctor Who.
Why?
Because
we're at the Take That.
We're at the Take That concert.
Shush.
Shush, please.
Sit. Otherwise, I push you off.
Well, you can't push off. She'll hurt herself. Right. Yeah. Next week, we're going up to Sunderland to watch Take That in a concert starring Take That.
Well done.
So, and that will be on the Saturday night when Doctor Who is on.
So I think you're going to get changed.
We're travelling up on the Friday, watching the concert on the Saturday, travelling back on the Sunday. So we won't actually get to see Doctor Who until Sunday evening. But that shouldn't prevent us from doing a podcast. Because I've got that week off work. Hurrah.
But,
Alicia, it means that you're going to have to be all the clocks off. It means you're going to have to be a bit more cooperative on that one because I don't think
we're going
to...
When's a bank holiday?
On the Monday. In fact, next Monday. Not tomorrow, but the Monday and next the following.
Damn.
You're going to have to be a bit more agreeable and help me out because Kirby's not available for that one. Because he's going to a convention, I do believe. And we'll find out about what he's up to the following week in a moment when we actually hear Kirby Bartlett Sloan here on the 20 Megabyte Podcast. So, Alicia, anything more to add before we move on?
Good review. Everybody hates me.
Did I? I didn't say that.
You did.
No, I said somebody was critical and said they don't know how I put up with you, was the actual comment.
Look what people accept me for who I am.
You've got some followers on Twitter via the podcast.
I am.
You've got some followers on Twitter via the podcast. Your followers went up from 2 to 7.
Have you got rid of that request thing on there?
Yes. Anyway, let's move on and thank you, Alicia. Thank you, Isabella. It's time to move on to the rest of the show.
I think we should make Isabella a Twitter account.
No, I don't, because she's too young.
No, think about what the most random stuff that she'll say all the time.
She won't say anything, though, will she? Because she can't type anything. Right, can we move on?
No.
You're going to say goodbye, girls?
Goodbye.
Alicia.
Have a nice day.
Isabella, say goodbye 20 Megabyte or 2 Podcast, and Alicia's the best.
Well, not quite, isn't she, all of a sudden?
I want to say goodbye, have a nice day.
Good girl.
Oh, you're so polite, Isabella.
And what are you going to say?
I just farted.
It's normally Magic's job. And with me, once again, is Kirby. Have you had a good week, Kirby?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think I watched The Doctor's Wife 4, 5, 6, 7 times, because that was such a good episode, and really enjoyed last night's episode as well.
I'm glad you did, and you're going to tell me all about it.
Well, you did see it.
I did. No, I just, because I don't want to repeat myself, so okay. I'd like to interject into, obviously, things that you...
What did I like about it? Nice, solid story. It was definitely better than Fear Her.
Yeah.
I just hope it doesn't go downhill next week. Good Base Under Siege. But Base Under Siege from the people who are under siege, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Didn't see any plot holes that really bothered me at all. It didn't bother me the little bits of Avatar.
It was Avatar in there. Yeah, I did spot that.
Well, the thing is that Avatar stole that idea from other things. I've never seen Avatar. I've got a copy of it, never saw it. But, let's see. Very nice, almost Seventh Doctor-ish bit from the Doctor. He's holding something back, big time.
Yeah, what was that bit? Because somebody else picked up on that on Facebook. So what's that in reference to?
Well, first of all, in the very first scene when... I loved all the clothes and stuff scattered around the control room while they're playing, while the pawns are playing darts. But the doctor tries to not bring them along because he knows something's going to be happening. But he's being very cagey about it. And then when they get there, he says, before they go in, after they've heard the Dusty Springfield stuff, he goes, I think we're here. This is it.
Oh.
It's as they're going up those stairs into the, right after Rory has burned himself on the acid.
Yeah.
Listen back to that. This is, I don't think it's any secret by now, but this is just my own conjecture, but other people I'm sure have noticed it. I'm pretty sure now that the doctor we saw killed on the beach was a ganger.
That which would be pleasing in some ways and annoying in others. Now,
yeah.
Pleasing because I don't want it to be the doctor, but annoying because Stephen Moffat categorically said it was the doctor.
And so what's his name? The third. The old man.
Canton.
Canton, yes.
Yeah.
He said that this is very definitely the doctor.
Talking of Canton, just change the subject slightly. I'm pretty sure I saw him because we watched a film called Gulliver's Travels this afternoon, me, Debbie and Isabella. And enjoyed it immensely, but there's lots of Doctor Who actors in it. And I'm pretty sure that Mark Shepherd was in it and got trodden on very early on in the in the film.
How old is that one? I think I may have seen it.
It's the one with Jack Black as Gulliver.
Oh, that one. Okay. Mm. Hey. No, I haven't seen that one. There was... I remember something in the 80s that seemed to have a bunch of 80s Who people in it. May have been a Gulliver's Travels. I'll have to check on that.
Yeah. Yeah, so we got up to the bit where... the doctors said this is it. So obviously, it's a pretty good story anyway, apart from the sinister things going on. It's very Doctor Who sort of like, again, like the previous story was. It was a good Doctor Who story based a little bit under siege like. I thought the aliens reminded me a lot. Well, not the aliens, so they're not aliens. I'm getting confused. The creatures that come out as they're sort of not quite. You know, they're sort of halfway between being, what are they called? That little gooey
Gangers.
Mess? Yeah.
The flesh.
Yeah, between the flesh and the actual looking exactly like their doppelgangers, looked a bit like the aliens from Waters of Mars. And, but apart from that, I mean, and also Alicia pointed out that the vat of stuff they come out of was very reminiscent of the vat that the Martha clone comes out of in Sontaran Stratagem.
Yes, and I just watched that one a couple of weeks ago because I had a feeling seeing all the stuff in that warehouse in The Impossible Astronaut Day of the Moon that there was some that looked like cloning equipment as well.
Right.
So we're going to have cloning ganger stuff throughout this series. So I went back and watched that in the Sontaran one with Martha again. Very similar.
Yeah. So, Alicia said earlier on that she's convinced now that the Sontarans will be in part two.
Don't know.
No, I don't know either. But I thought that at the beginning of this episode, that when they walked in with their helmets on at a long shot, that they did look like Sontarans.
Yes, they did, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I my girls watched it but didn't want to come on the podcast. So I had a chat with them, and what they said with this one, let me find it. Louisa reacted to reacted to the other humans with malicious thoughts.
Yeah.
The middle daughter, Julia, said she thought it was all right.
Yeah.
She thought the story moved too slowly and the cliffhanger was not really a cliffhanger at all because it was hinted at several times.
Yeah, they picked up when you saw the lips, apparently, Alicia picked up straight away it was likely to be the Doctor, even more so when the character in the, sneaking around in the shadows saying, "Trust me."
Yes. I didn't catch it with the lips in the vat, but with the "trust me," I went, "Oh, okay." That explains everything.
But we thought instantly, well, once he'd made contact with that mess, that gooey stuff, that he was going to be sort of copied. You know, when he put his hand in there and he had some sort of psychic connection with it. We thought, wow, he's obviously going to be copied.
Now, I think, this is just me again, I think that the only people who are not gangers at the end of the episode are the Pawns.
Yeah.
I think that too. I think both doctors are gangers.
Yeah.
So
which one goes back into the TARDIS? What might happen in the next episode is all the gangers get wiped out and all this conjuncture, you know, I can't think of the word, is just, you know, us trying to outguess the writers.
And both you and I are going to miss the episode next week.
Yeah, when it goes out live. Yeah,
when it goes out live.
I'm considering, because I'm going to be staying at a Days Inn on the way back from the concert, very late at night. But I'm hoping I might be an option to sort of buy Wi-Fi so I can watch it on my iPhone in the morning.
Ah.
I don't think that's going to happen, though. I don't think Alicia and Debbie would be particularly interested in watching it on a tiny little screen like that. But you know what it's like. You just, because I also want to still go on Facebook and still want to go on Twitter. And if I do, then I'm going to hear things I don't want to hear. And it's going to be quite difficult.
Well, yesterday, when it was being broadcast in Britain, I was on Twitter reading everything. And it just piques my interest. I don't consider it to be really that spoilerific.
I suppose if you're careful. But I probably will avoid it. I mean, I'm going to be driving anyway. It's about 6 hours drive from where we're going to be staying on the way back to Southampton. So the only time I would probably consider going on it would be on the boat. That might be an option. Watch it on the boat. I could watch it on the ferry on the way over from Southampton. Got an hour. And they've got free Wi-Fi.
And, of course, the news over here is that BBC America is delaying the next two episodes by a week, which is a little bit frustrating.
That's very frustrating.
Since next week is Memorial Day here.
Yeah.
And BBC America apparently thinks that a lot of people will not be watching because they'll be on holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'll be at a...
I suppose it works out all right for you to a certain degree, because obviously you weren't going to be available to be on the show next week anyway.
Right.
Obviously, that means what we're going to have to do is Alicia and I will probably, and probably Ben, will talk about the next episode, and then you can come in on the following week.
I also saw The Confidential last night, which I thought was very interesting. I want to find out more about some of those locations.
Yeah, it was a good one. Castles. It was a good one last night, yeah. I thought the group of actors seemed to sort of get on really well. You know, you could see there was a rapport between them. I didn't really get from other episodes. Well,
and the new companion, Charlie the Badger.
Yes.
if anyone listening wants to know what we're talking about, Doctor Who has a short video of Charlie the Badger.
Yeah.
So you can see it's a hand puppet that Matt Smith was clowning around with during their off time. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, he's really good. That was good. Really giving Arthur Darvill a run for his money on that one.
Yeah, I loved his accent there too.
Yeah. Talking about Arthur Darvill, I thought the scene where they got knocked out by the solar flares or whatever, and he woke up and he said, another way. Ow.
Yes.
So that's always really funny.
There's another thing. A whole lot happened during that hour.
Mm, yeah.
Because the Pawns, notice we call them the Pawns now.
Yeah.
They weren't in that room.
Oh.
When the
well, that's interesting, because obviously there was a period of time when Amy had been quite kidnapped by the Silence that has vanished.
Yes.
Mm.
Now, have you seen the stuff posted out there by the BBC kind of spoiling the last episode?
No, I haven't. I'm glad you're not going to tell me about it.
Okay. Just, I warn you, there are pictures spoiling the mid-series cliffhanger.
Okay. Well, fortunately,
much.
I haven't seen any. I haven't been on any of the news sites. I mean, the listeners for this show might have noticed I've been sort of cutting back on news a bit for that, you know, specific purpose. Although last time we did news, we did it via the DWO site, which is spoiler-free. I've been reliably informed. So we might do a feature on the news via the DWO news page. So, so that's probably, if you want to keep up with Doctor Who news and you don't want to be spoiled, probably the DWO news page is probably the best one to go to. But yes, thank you for warning me of that. I will be very, very careful.
And I am very curious with Confidential next time.
Yeah.
I want to see more about, they didn't have anything about the makeup with
that's
this Confidential.
True. That's
and I'd
probably
really
true.
Like to see more about dealing with this makeup, since it was used so much more extensively. Yes, it's obviously the same technique as in the Waters of Mars.
Yeah.
But so many actors doing it. It just must be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they haven't covered it in that one, so they're bound to cover it in the next one. It's probably going to be even more extensive makeup used in the next episode, I would have thought.
Yes.
But this episode on a whole, it was... I've only seen it once, and we ran through it earlier on in the show, and I was able to remember most of it. And I was around my in-laws watching it, but on this occasion was able to listen to all of it on that first go. And the only thing that I'm getting a little bit bored of with these sort of current episodes is the low lighting, the dim lighting, you know. And
yes, I saw your Facebook post about that.
It was a bit of tongue-in-cheek, that particular post, but obviously it's a thing of this era that Moffat stories in the past have been quite lowly lit. I mean, look at, obviously, the sort of set at night, really, the Empty Child Doctor Dances, the Blink episode, although that was, but it seemed quite dark and lowly lit for me. And the only one that wasn't was Girl in a Fireplace, but even that had mostly, if I think about it, quite low light or dim lighting in it. So obviously he quite likes things, his stories to be set either at night or in dark places.
Oh, I've got the episode playing in the background here, as I usually do when we chat every week. Can you tell me a little bit of when they got into the real northern accents there? I didn't understand some of what the doctor was saying. What did he say using the extremely broad northern accent? And what is
he by gum? That's just
before that.
That's I don't know how to translate that, really. It's a sort of, it's a bit like,
okay.
Oh my god.
And just
gosh.
Before that, he said something
like
about,
it was, or, oh dear okay. me, I suppose would be the what a posh person, oh dear me. Oh,
okay.
Back,
and just before
that,
it was something about going and fetching something, or I don't know, it was just, I couldn't understand it at all.
It's probably just, I don't think it would need to worry about that. It's just probably a thing that northern people say. And I'll have a watch of it later, and I'll try and remember. You mentioned that when me and Ben discuss it later, so I can't remember which bit. Again, I can't remember the actual dialogue.
Yeah.
I remember the
well,
email
that was in
bit,
the
but,
in
yeah,
the season the trailer, so we knew that was coming.
Yeah.
And that's also one of
that's
the
right.
statements in the clues in the Brilliant Book. I noticed that. A lot of the Brilliant Book, I think we're about half... We've hit about a third of the things in the Brilliant Book by now. Go back and look at some of those.
Again, another book I should have got but didn't. Somebody offered me that book once, actually. But that's right. It came into work as a book that was very, very cheap, and I didn't have any money, so I couldn't buy it. So I was going to borrow it off Alistair Pearson, and Alistair said, oh, you can borrow it. And I thought, better not. I'll probably ruin it, or one of the kids will get hold of it. So I never did really
All
get a proper chance to look at it.
All I've got is two pictures that were of the relevant passages of the clues that were posted on the internet. I'll be buying stuff next weekend at the convention.
Going back to the, I'm sure you will. Going back to the beginning of it, I thought there was quite the opening scene where they're all sort of going around and he gets knocked into the acid and, you know, they're saying, "Oh well, you're dead." And I thought that was really, really cleverly done. It meant what?
Yes.
And Alicia said, "What's going on there?" You know, and of course it became fairly obvious in the end why they were doing that. But I thought it was quite a good little scene that.
Yes, it was. I just saw here the scene where Jin is sitting in that locker room and Rory is getting. She's just looked at the picture of herself in the boots as a child. Yeah. And did you notice as she was hitting herself on the chest going, "I'm me," that she was shifting between a ganger and a human?
Yeah, I did notice that, yeah.
Very good work by the mill.
Yes, indeed. Very, very cleverly done. But that, I expect they had to shoot that scene with the actor in makeup and not in makeup. So he did quite a lot of those clever camera tricks, didn't he? With a computer and stuff. So, yeah, that worked really well. And she was really good anyway. She was in At Home with the Braithwaites with Peter Davison a few years ago on ITV. She played Peter Davison's daughter, girl. I've always quite liked her as an actress.
I'm going to find out more about some of these actors and try and find some of the stuff that they've been in.
Yeah, but that's one that stands out for me. I'm sure she's been in other things, but I'll probably... And she looks quite similar to another actress that wasn't in At Home with the Braithwaites. So it could also be the actress, but I'm pretty sure it's that one. But, on the whole... I'll tell you who I really did like from the episode. And I don't know the character's name. It is the grey-haired Scottish character.
Oh, yes.
I particularly like him as an actor because he played a character in one of my other favourite sci-fi series, Paradox.
Okay, not familiar with that one.
No, I don't know if you've had it over there yet, but if you do get a chance, if it pops up on BBC America, try and watch it. There is time elements in it. Basically, I synopsize the series as best as I can, is they're in sort of present day and a satellite beams images from a day into the future to them, little clips, little photographs. And then they have to try and prevent certain events from happening. They have to find out where these pictures are, what they're written in reference to, and then try and prevent something bad happening. And he was in that series, that actor, and I liked him in that series. I was quite pleased he was in Doctor Who.
Ah. I just noticed something else, again, since I've got this running in the background. I'm going to have to revise my statement of a few minutes ago where I said that only the pawns are human at the end of the episode. I think that two of the men are also human because there's one... who keeps coughing.
Yeah, there is some clue with that coughing, isn't there?
I don't think that a ganger will be sick so soon after it's created like that.
Maybe so. That's one to try and keep in mind. Trouble is, where we're not going to be chatting for a couple of weeks, it might sort of drift away, that one. But that's certainly worth watching, that one. That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that one.
And I
remember the cough, but I hadn't thought that he might not be a ganger. So that's quite good.
Just saw Eye Patch Lady go past.
Yeah.
Her 1 second appearance.
Very, very long distance one. But Amy didn't seem to be too bothered by it on this occasion.
No.
She's more bothered by her husband's flirting with this this other character, which it was a lovely scene when he looks up to her for approval, doesn't he? When he's trying to comfort her, and the look Amy gives him was a sort of pained look, but also I understand you go ahead sort of look.
Also,
I thought that was superb.
Did you see when in the scene where the gangers meet up with the humans, as if that is given the concept that possibly we've got gangers and humans instead of gangers and gangers? When everybody gets in the same room, that scene.
Yeah.
That Jin squeezes Rory's hand very hard at one point, and he looks down at it and goes,
I did notice that. Another good bit of, subtle.
Subtle, yes.
Yeah. So, good stuff. I wasn't quite sure whether people would like this one, I must admit, but
I
tend to like all New Who when it's first on, and you've got to watch it again, and you've got to be objective with it. The only one I didn't like straight off was Amy's Choice, but since then I think it's a work of art, a brilliant piece of work. I love it. But first time round I didn't, but all these Doctor Who's, the New Who stuff, I've enjoyed, and then sort of generated sort of different opinions later on. Specifically Fear Her I liked when it was first done. I thought it was quite clever with the scribbles and the drawings coming to life. Mm-hmm. And then having watched it later, thought it was a bit silly.
Yeah, with this season, I'm still extremely disappointed with Curse of the Bad Plot. but this one was pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, Curse of the Bad Plot. I mean, it is worse than Fear Her for plot lines and stuff. But it's still a bit of fun. I can enjoy it. But yes, it is. Looking back, I think it's gonna go down as probably the worst Doctor Who story of the new age. Eventually, when people have sort of got over this series, but because people keep comparing it with Pirates of the Caribbean, don't they?
Yes.
So I don't know what was going on there. But it's interesting that there's been on the internet quite a lot today that Hugh Bonneville is doing a new series of Downton Abbey. So I know that might not have a lot of reference to Doctor Who, but it's quite a popular series, so award-winning and that, so... There you go, I've mentioned Downton Abbey.
Let's see. I didn't see any of Robert Haynes's mobiles in this episode.
No, I didn't either, but maybe it's the next episode. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that one.
Okay.
And we're talking about... Yeah, sorry, carry on.
I also saw something I need to investigate further. Somebody was pointing out that there have been a couple of scenes inside the TARDIS in the past four episodes where some mysterious red spots have gone across the Doctor's face, as if it's a laser sight.
Okay.
I haven't gone back to see those.
No, I haven't seen that either. So you're not very observant, am I?
Well, I didn't see it. I just read it. And they have nothing to do with anything.
People have... And it's every tiny little detail. People are going through it with a fine-tooth comb, aren't they? Like they did last year. But whether they get it right or not remains to be seen.
We've been doing that forever.
Yeah. But they've just come on the BAFTAs now, and they're doing the Best Actor award at the moment. So maybe I should try and commentate you through the Best Actor. Leading Actor.
Is that where
nominations are?
Nominated?
Jim Broadbent in Any Human Heart, Channel 4 drama. Isn't Jim Broadbent an Oscar-winning actor?
I'm not sure. I mainly think of him as the shy doctor in Curse of Fatal Death.
Yes, he was.
And also he was in the fourth Indiana Jones.
Right, they can come into the result now. And the BAFTA goes to... Daniel Rigby. So neither Cumberbatch or Smith won that particular award. After all that.
Problem with the internet.
Yeah, don't know who he is, sorry. I might have to rewind that to find out what he was in. But yes, so no awards for Doctor Who there. Anyway, right, where did we get up to before I was interrupted by the disappointing news that Doctor Who fails to win an award? Again.
Or should
I insert the word major award?
Right.
Again. Never mind. It's a bit frustrating when RTD was winning awards left, right and centre, and I think that the quality of the writing in these particular current stories is much better than the RTD era. And not to say I didn't love the RTD era, I just think that Doctor Who has a piece of writing, apart from Curse of the Black...
Curse of the Bad Plot.
That one, yeah, apart from that one, the writing is really, really good.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But there you go. More disappointment. Yeah, I'm trying to think where we got up to. We were talking about Robert Haynes' theories, I think, in relation to certain things that haven't appeared in the episode yet. But that's a fun thing about Doctor Who, in a way, isn't it? That, you know, trying to see things that other people might not have seen, and when it happens, saying, I saw that, I mentioned that, or whatever.
Yes.
But yeah, it's I'd say the following week... I'm at the Isle of Wight Festival on the Saturday evening. So that means I'm not going to be able to watch the finale go out live either.
Oh, no.
That's the words I was thinking of, but a slightly more sort of ruder words. But yeah, unless I manage to wangle it that I don't know, knit round my mother's. She's in Newport and she's quite close to the Isle of Wight Festival site. Maybe we should knit round my mother. Probably she rabbits. She can't sit through a TV programme without talking either. Must do people over the age of 60, I don't know, but that's my only other option, to knit round my mother's and watch Doctor Who. Trouble is, I don't know what acts I might miss during that, if I did do that, because Tom Jones is doing one of the evenings at the Isle of Wight Festival, and I'd quite like to see him, to be honest. Mm-hmm.
So, but by the time you're right, you will be able to do a podcast that week, I hope.
Oh yeah, I do a podcast.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyway, so to sum up, I think we can safely say that this particular first part of this story has been very, very good.
Yes.
Despite
very
my,
dark. Very dark. Had some nice bits of humor. Nice bits of horror.
Yeah.
Nice
acting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur Darvill is just doing great.
Yeah, he is. It did remind me of Jamie in one of the scenes. I can't remember which one it was.
Yes.
But there was one scene I thought, that's... Yeah, I could deal with him staying on and Amy's character leaving. And that's unlikely to happen, but... I'd love to have the Doctor, Rory, just them two, like that was with Jamie and the Doctor for one story.
Since I understand Arthur Darvill is going to be occupied doing a play during the period that would necessarily be next season's recording period, I don't think we're going to have him.
I think you're probably right.
So, oh well.
Unless they change the filming schedule of Doctor Who.
So we didn't have a death of Rory this week.
Yeah.
How refreshing!
Alicia said, well, he didn't die last week, she said. I don't know what she was watching last week. Anyway, yeah, so I'm really looking forward to what you're able to record at your convention next week.
Yes.
Don't feel too pressured, but I really am looking forward to it nevertheless.
Right.
Have you tested out your little MP3 recorder yet?
I've tested out with the girls mangling saying the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yeah, and have you sent that to me yet?
I'll send it to you. And they could not... I had to show them the screen and say, read this, because they could not get 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yeah, I have that problem in trying to get Isabella to do it.
Well, the thing is, here, well, I'm talking about a 17-year-old, a 16-year-old, not a 4-year-old.
Excellent stuff. I mean, obviously, if your MP3 recorder sounds really, really good, I might get you to record your audio on that in future. So it'll be interesting to see.
It's not that good a recorder. We'll see.
I'm sure it'll be good enough. Not maybe necessary for the podcast, but...
Right.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it. So have a great time.
All right.
And I suppose, it's going to be difficult, like talking about Doctor Who, but we won't get to talk to each other about it for 2 weeks anyway, so hopefully it'll balance itself out. And, like I say, see you in a couple of weeks.
All right.
Thank you very much, Kirby.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
And it's lovely to have Ben once again on the show. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Adam. You all right?
Yeah, what sort of week have you had then?
Oh, up and down, left and right, and sometimes down the middle.
That good?
Didn't say that.
No.
Actually, it's quite good today because my nearly 11-year-old has gone away on her first school residential trip. And she's away all the week.
Is that good?
Well, it's going to be very quiet around here.
Alicia goes away nearly all week in July when she goes on a school trip to Italy.
All right. The only noises that will be around here this week, there won't be the noises of ten nearly 11-year-old being rude and shouting of that. It'll just be the shouting between me and
Deb
the wife.
I wish Deb could hear this, because he's just referring to Deb, where his daughter goes away, there won't be the sounds of a 10 nearly 11-year-old shouting. And what else did you say, Ben?
And then it will just be the sounds of me and the wife arguing.
It'll just be the sounds of him and his wife arguing.
Yeah.
Yes.
About right.
Anyway, right. So, let me think. Did you watch a certain episode of Doctor Who on Saturday?
No, I didn't bother this week.
That's a shame, isn't it? We'll have to talk about something else then.
Of course I did.
Good. Well, we'll move on to that later, because I sent you some literature via email.
You sent me a couple of emails that took about 15 minutes to read. I mean, we love feedback. Don't get me... I'm not... that sounds really bad. It sounds like I'm complaining. And I'm not complaining. I'm not at all. I'm staggered the fact that people actually put in the effort to write emails of such consistency.
It's only because I dangled some bribery things in front of their noses.
That's
well, not,
true.
Not in Robert's case. Robert would write anyway. But certainly in Pordy's case. I know what he's after. He's after a yellow Dalek for the character options, character build thing. That's what he's actually after. Even though it's not actually available as a prize, he's actually after that. He's actually asked me, if I win it, can I have the yellow Dalek?
Well, if you don't ask, you don't get.
So shall we read Pordy's feedback just to see if it's worth a yellow Dalek?
Yeah. Hold on. Just let me scroll down to that one, because... I'm currently... God, this goes on. Right, okay, this one starts... Hi, guys. Apologies for the absence of feedback on my part for your podcast. Speaking of which, I'd like to congratulate you on your recent birthday. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Your podcast is without doubt one of the best Doctor Who ones available.
What's this one of the...
Well, I know, there's a compliment in there somewhere. week on week, your show is evolving and improving exponentially.
Cool. Well, like that means, but excellent.
Well, it means it's getting better slowly. pleasantries aside, oh, they were pleasantries. I'd like to give some feedback on this week's episode, The Doctor's Wife. Ah, so this is last week's.
Yes.
My feedback is going to be brief, as I only got to see it once since my Skybox failed to record it. Grrr, Skyboxes.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we have, in England, obviously, we have the BBC iPlayer. Don't know if they have it in Ireland.
I wouldn't have thought so, because they don't pay for the BBC, do they, in Republic?
They certainly get some BBC stuff, don't they?
In Northern Ireland they do, but I'm pretty sure in Republic they
won't.
I'm sure
they do in Ireland as well, because when I stayed in Cork once... I was able to watch BBC.
I'll tell you what. We'll say, if you live in the Republic of Ireland and you get the iPlayer, then phone in, or don't phone in, because we haven't given a phone number, but you can email in.
You got stuck back in your radio days then, didn't you?
I did, rather embarrassingly. It's been 18 months and I still think I'm on the radio every day. Anyway, you could email in if you're in the Republic of Ireland and say whether or not you do get the iPlayer. Or you could just lie and say that you don't, even if you do, because I don't like being wrong about anything. Ask the wife. Anyway, pleasantries aside, I'd like to give some feedback on this week's episode, The Doctor's Wife. Blah, 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 blah. In short, I loved it. I agree that this is by far the best episode of the series, and I think it's on a par with Vincent and the Doctor from the last series, as it was more concerned with telling the story and didn't rely on using big explosions or special effects for grandeur. I found both the title premise slash show note for the episode intriguing, wondering whether or not the Doctor was going to find any remaining living Time Lords. Oh yeah, just like with the cryptic title of the episode, The Doctor's Daughter, you don't get exactly what it says in the tin, so it was a nice surprise to find out the wife in the title refers to the TARDIS. Saran Jones gave an excellent performance as the personified time machine. Her performance conveyed both love for the Doctor and a curiosity for travelling in time and space. She showed an excitement and impulse with which we've seen some see... Hold on, I think I've read that wrong. She showed an excitement and impulse which we've seen in some scenes with both the 10th and 11th Doctors. I didn't read it wrong. My eyes just failed me. I was a bit disappointed with the character of the house, and maybe more could have been told about its story, etc.
Or as Alicia calls it, host.
The host, yes.
Yes.
Maybe it's because they didn't travel in time, but when Amy and Rory are trapped in the TARDIS, I'm wondering how the house was able to make it travel through time and space when the heart had been removed from the machine. Yeah. As regards Amy and Rory's corridor scenes, I don't know about you, but I have liked to see a bit more of the TARDIS rather than just the hallways. I'm not sure if it's a plan to show different rooms in future episodes. If they need to, they will, I think, basically, is the answer.
Well, I've got the rather drab-looking corridor sets now, haven't they, in storage, so they can bring them back as and when.
Yeah, and they can always expand it anytime you want. I mean, we've already seen, we haven't seen a lot of the TARDIS in the since it's been restarted, have we? But obviously we've seen the costume room, which was obviously just the console room with the console taken out.
Yeah, but looking back on the costume room, what you're talking about when Tennant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw they replayed that on the Confidential. And
they did.
It was actually quite extensive, wasn't it? I was quite impressed. I know it was probably computer generated, but it looked really, really good, the long shot they did of it.
It did, but it was just a console room.
Was it?
Yeah.
It's just a console room from
a slightly different angle, I think.
But it had like a spiral staircase, didn't it?
Well, that was probably glued on. Yeah. Anyway, I told you about not being wrong. Anyway, I thought that the scene where Idris dies in the TARDIS was very touching. Matt Smith gave an excellent performance of a war-weary doctor who aches to have a connection with his home planet, and he could have had with a talking TARDIS.
Yeah.
His human assistants come and go, but the TARDIS is the one constant companion he has through his travels. I was also surprised to learn that he's been travelling with the old girl for over 700... with the old girl for over 700 years. I thought the scene where the Doctor defeats the house inhabiting the TARDIS was a bit of an anti-climax. It was like most things, you have a big build-up and it gets sorted out in 15 seconds sometimes. But I suppose...
Yeah, that was a bit... I mean... It's interesting that he's picked up on a negative of the episode that everybody loves. That did sort of sit at the back of my mind a little bit, that the way that was resolved so easily and sort of, you know, that was... Looking back on it, yeah, I suppose that was a bit naff, but because we've been treated so much with the rest of the story, I think that's why it was probably glossed over a bit.
Well, I mean, obviously it's time constraints, isn't it? They have to write an episode in 45 minutes, and it's better having 38 minutes of, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Oh, we have to flick the switch. I'll flick the switch. We've won. Than, you know, a half an hour build-up which doesn't explain everything properly, and then maybe a five-minute resolution to it all. But anyway, you know, I see the point.
Yeah.
But then he actually goes on to say, I suppose it's understandable, given the episode is under an hour long. Oh, I hadn't read that bit before. I just made that point to make that point. Yeah. I know that the aspects of the Doctor's character and personality change from regeneration to regeneration, but I find the 11th incarnation to be callous at times, and for want of a better word, inhumane, like when committing genocide of the Silence. I know that's the way he was in some of the classic episodes, but I thought, given his loss and emotional damage during the Time War and the Doctor, and that the Doctor had come to be more understanding and forgiving.
Yeah.
Proof that this can be seen with David Tennant's tenure. No second chances. I'm that sort of a man. But as the Doctor also says, you never know what you're going to get. I thought that was Forrest Gump.
No, it was. It was Davison's Doctor just after he'd regenerated.
Yeah, exactly.
Said it much earlier than Forrest Gump.
Yeah, before he'd even found the celery.
Yeah.
Just one last thing on the final scene of the episode. I thought it was touching that instead of having a bedroom, the Doctor always chose to sleep in the control room beside his old friend and true companion. I loved the Doctor and Rory's conversation about beds, as it just went to show how, despite his human qualities, just how alien the Doctor actually is. Keep up the good work. Alonzi! He signs off.
Thank you, Pordy.
Yeah, thank you, Bordy. Nice email. I like that one.
We'll move on to Roberts after we've discussed Rebel Flesh ourselves.
You've really planned it this week. You planned it this week. I'm impressed.
No. I'm just throwing it together as usual.
Okay.
It's time to do eBay.
eBay? Oh, we haven't done eBay for ages!
That's because Alicia normally does it, but she only allotted me a short period of time this week.
Did you hear the excitement in my voice when you said we were doing eBay? No,
I'm delighted somebody's excited by it. So, number one, as far as the item that's got the highest price listing against it, is Doctor Who TARDIS Police Box 100% Accurate Super Rare with remote control, sound effects and lights. I'm not sure. Is that a full-size one? I'm just going to click on the doodah. It's listed at £4,000.
Goodness me, hold on a minute. What did you type in on your search? It's just Doctor Who?
Doctor Who, and I list the most expensive first.
Yeah.
And it is full size because it's in someone's living room. It's got a Cyberman standing next to it.
Wow. That looks like a slightly child size Cyberman, though.
Maybe so. It might just be because the picture's a bit skew if. And also some very interesting leather chair next to it.
Hold on a minute. What's that turning up?
What's what?
I can hear the TARDIS.
Oh, has it got a sound effect on it as well?
I can hear
the sound effect. Maybe I didn't go on it for long. Oh, it's probably because I've got my volume turned down.
And I've got mine turned up, otherwise I can't hear you. Oh, hold on, yes. Now someone's talking at me. Shush. There we go, I'll get rid of him. But yes, that looks like a, I'd say at least 9/10 size TARDIS.
It says 100% accurate. And well, it's super rare.
So does that mean it's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside?
Well, it doesn't say it's not, does it?
That's true. Wow.
But yes, I wouldn't mind that. So hopefully if the plus five numbers have come up tonight, mind you, it ends in about 6 hours, I won't probably have a chance of getting that stick in the back garden. Anyway, yeah, so that's really, actually, for once, the top listed item is actually quite an interesting one.
I think the second one is pretty interesting as well.
And the second one is a full-size Dalek. Full-size
Dalek with...
Certificate of Origin. Well, surely it's going to be Skaro.
Well, possibly. Looks more like it's in someone's bathroom. There's a shower behind it. How weird.
Yes, anyway.
That's £1,599 with no bids.
I think I'll stick with the TARDIS myself.
I don't know.
I'll get the TARDIS first and then move on to the Dalek at a later stage. Anyway, the item that the most expensive listed item with any bids next to it is Doctor Who original costume prop from Paradise Towers. It's a caretaker, including cap with belt. And that's got one bid against it at £600.
I'm just finding... Oh, there it is. I don't know. Oh... Well, there's one here as well. Oh, yes, but there's another £600 one as well.
Yeah, but it's got to have a bid against it to count. Because underneath that is a Doctor Who number plate thing.
Ah, you'd see. Oh, yes, a Doctor Who original costume prop.
Oh, I'm just explaining to my wife, who's worried about the fact that you're on my iPhone, that this is a Skype call. So, anyway. Have you spotted that one, the original costume prop?
Yes, it was the one, I think... If it's the one I'm thinking of, it's the one that was worn by Joseph Young, whose character was caretaker 345/12/3.
Cool. Because I know somebody who was in Paradise Towers, Lou Bates, she was next to her in that. And I've asked her several times to come on the show and talk about it, but I think it's just too embarrassing for her.
Isn't Paradise Towers in Southampton?
Is it?
I'm sure there's a Paradise Towers in Southampton.
There's a Pyramids? Oh no, that's Portsmouth.
Yeah, that is. There's also the London Eye, isn't there, in Southampton? Oh, no, that's London.
Yeah, that is. Anyway. Number two is a Doctor Who prop costume Tom Baker hat. 16 bids against it and currently running at £310. I'm going to have a closer look at that because it looks black. I don't remember Tom Baker having a black hat.
I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
When did he have a black one?
I can't remember the episode, but I'm convinced I've seen him wearing a black hat in Doctor Who before. It was early. I'm sure it was pretty early on, actually.
Well, the blurb says, here we have a very rare opportunity to acquire an original 1973 Herbert Johnson Tom Baker style hat. So it's not actually the one, is it? It is exactly the same style of the hat that Tom Baker wore in Brain of Morbius up until the end of Key to Time season.
Look, if you have a look as well on the pictures, there's four different pictures of it. There's a picture of a hat. Picture of another hat.
A picture of him wearing it, yeah, okay.
And then a picture of him wearing it. I was right, and I was going to say it's probably with that grey big...
The thing is, I wonder if these 16 people that have bid against it and are prepared to pay £310 realise it's not actually the one used in the series.
Well, from what it says on the blurb at the front, you know, you wouldn't have thought that, would you? Because it says Doctor Who prop costume Tom Baker hat. It doesn't say look-alike.
Here comes my wife's customer.
So... Yeah, you're quite right on that. I wonder if people are thinking of it.
Yeah.
Oh, there's someone signing up to buy
people, it is, yes.
To buy a black Doctor Who hat.
And that's, of course, the fact that it's accurate to the costume has attracted people to buy it, perhaps. You know, I think, if I've got the rest of a sort of made-up Tom Baker costume, that hat will set it off nicely, even if at £310.
Yeah, if I could be bothered, I'd probably search the internet first, though. To see if there was something, you know, that you could get...
cheaper?
That wasn't £310 plus £4 postage and pay.
Yeah, maybe so. Number three
There's another costume. It just says Doctor Who costume, and that's listed at £260. I'm just going to click on it to see exactly what it is in relation to Doctor Who.
I'm on my way down. There we go.
The picture is of a suit hanging off the back of somebody's bedroom door. And it says this is original Doctor Who costume from the 1984 story Frontiers, which is topical because Frontiers is coming out on DVD soon.
It is.
Starring Peter Davison. Oh, so that's quite a good item, and that's £260. Two bids against it.
Well, it's a costume.
Hmm.
Oh, there it is. Oh, there's a picture of it actually being used.
That's really good. It's got quite handy. They do have the pictures of them being used. I normally stop at the third item, but just underneath it, two places underneath it, in fact, there's another item, which is Fourth Doctor Custom Classic Secondary TARDIS Console Room.
What?
The Fourth Doctor. This is just, you'd go down two more underneath that one.
Yeah, yeah.
That's £255. I'm just clicking on that because I think somebody's obviously...
Oh, it's a toy of some sort.
Oh, is it? Still nice. Oh, I don't know, actually. This doesn't look like the Fourth TARDIS secondary console room to me. It looks a bit like it. Oh, it's got the mirror. So it's a bit of dust, but it's pretty good, actually.
I wouldn't say it's
custom-built secondary console room as seen in the Fourth Doctor story, Mask of Mandragora. Built in scale with 5-inch classic range of figures. I know there is somebody out there who's actually customising Doctor Who things to go along with the 5-inch figures, but like you can see from the price of this one, because it's custom made and probably a one-off, very, very expensive.
Does look good, though.
It does look very good. I don't know if they've got the view screen in the corner there, a bit round the corner there or not. There are some more pictures available. I'm just going to click on one of them and see what it is. It is excellent. They've even got the little windows. Remember the stained glass windows in there?
Yeah.
And the Tom Baker figure.
That is really good, actually.
It is excellent, yeah.
If I had £255...
Oh, they have got the screen. From the looking down from the top view.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah. So someone's got an awful lot of time in their hands.
I know, I have. But, I do try and spend it wisely.
So that's eBay for this week. And fortunately, for once... quite a useful set of items there.
There were some good items on eBay. Yes. I bought three things off eBay in the last 24 hours, actually.
Have you?
Yeah, but two of them were phone covers, and then I bought some ponchos. Anyway.
Okay. Anyway, right, so can we do the charts and then move on to Rebel Flesh?
Let's do the chart. The new...
Top 30.
Top 30
chart. But it's only for this week, because I'm just shutting the door. Bear with me. The shall we say studio door, just for profession's sake.
Yeah, because
it's. I'm just hoping I don't lose the signal to the Wi-Fi having two doors shut between. Oh my god, it has gone dropped down a bit. I might have to open it back up again before we completely lose each other.
I can't get my Wi-Fi when I'm sitting outside my lounge where my Wi-Fi's set up. There's a little step down at the garden, and it loses it 6 foot from the Wi-Fi thing.
Well, Alicia, I don't know, it might be my phone and my computer, but Alicia can get the Wi-Fi quite comfortably up in her room in the attic. But there you go.
I can get it on the laptop upstairs, but I can't outside the door, which doesn't make any sense at all.
But anyway, there's charts. Now, the top 30 this week, because how many podcasts have we had out this week?
Let me have a look on the email you just sent. Well, you sent me a while ago to see if I could find it.
I think it was 43.
43, it says on the email,
43 Doctor Who podcasts, and those are just the ones released on the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance, of which we are very proud to be affiliated with. Yeah. And that obviously that doesn't include other podcasts that aren't affiliated with the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance that aren't in the charts, because they're not. Anyway, right. Yeah, so should we crack on?
Well, okay, here we go with the big top 30. I feel like I do need an entire 3-hour radio show between 4 and 7 on a Sunday to count this down, but... that's obviously only funny if you've ever listened to it. Anyway, number 30, The Raggedy Podcast. At 29, The Happiness Patrol. At 28, Ian Todd World. And at 27, The Untempered Schism Project.
Project? I think it's a podcast, isn't it?
I was so pleased that I said schism, right? I got the next word wrong.
Excellent stuff.
I was so proud of myself, I stopped looking and just made it up. At 27, The Untempered Schism Prod... Oh, boy. Edit. At 27, The Untempered Schism Podcast. Just as it said. At 26, Mutter's Spiral. At 25, yeah. two minute Time Lord.
Mm-hmm.
At 24, Little Finnish Podcast. 23, Dirty Hooers Podcast. That's now my third favourite named podcast. I like that. That's good. At 22, The Oodcast. At 21, Who on Who. At number 20, down 6, The Unearthly Child Podcast. At 19, down 7, The Doctor's Companion. And at 18, a re-entry for The Naked Scarf Podcast. At 17, another re-entry, The New Who Podcast. And at 16, up 1 for Staggering Stories. At 15, a re-entry, The Crinoid Podcast?
Crinoid Podcast.
Crinoid. At 15, a re-entry for The Crinoid Podcast. At 14, down 1 for The Pharos Project. And at 13, another re-entry for Doctor Who Review Today. At 12, it's down 3, The Amiga Podcast. And just outside that big top 10, kids, at number 11, it's new for The Doctor Who Cast.
Yes, an original thing name there. I can see how they've done that. You know, we've had the DWO Who Cast, we've had the Doctor Who Podcast, and now what's this one called?
The Doctor Who Cast.
Yes, clever.
I'm going to make a Doctor Who Podgram.
Yes. That's a good idea, actually, the Doctor Who Podgram, yes.
Apart from I'm not.
You could get away with that one, couldn't you?
I enjoy doing yours too much. I would want to make a breakaway alliance.
If only I'd had you on from the beginning, we could have actually called this the Doctor Who Podgram instead of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. But unfortunately, we're known, as Colin Baker would say, as the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, so we're stuck with it now.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid it's too tricky to change names, even though the Podgram is a brilliant, brilliant title. And if I ever see anyone stolen it before I get back on the radio and can do my own Podgram, I'm going to be really angry. Anyway, number 10. This chart is taking forever. It doesn't help that we keep on getting sidetracked. This podcast is going to be another 2.5 hours, isn't it? I can tell.
And we've still got Robert Haynes' feedback to go through.
Oh, goodness me, it's going to be 3 hours. No, I haven't had my lunch yet. I'm starving. at 10, a re-entry for Doctor Who Adventures in Space and Muzak. In number 9, it's down 2 for the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. Slightly disappointing.
Down 2? I thought it was down 1. All right, carry on.
At number 8, a non-mover, which would make it impossible to go down 1, mostly harmless cutaway. At 7, down 1, impossible podcasts. At 6, down 1, Flashing Blade. At number 5, down 1, the DWO Whocast. At number 4, down 1, Radio Free Scaro. At number 3, down 1, for the Tin Dog Podcast. And at number 2, a re-entry for Doctor Who Podshock. Not quite Podgram. And at number 1, a non-mover for the Doctor Who Podcast. Well done, Doctor Who Podcast. Somehow managed to be 8 positions above us, which is incredible. Not yes, that I've well ever done. Heard it, to be honest. So they're probably brilliant.
They are good, yes. So then, Ben, what about Rebel Flesh, then?
Rebel Flesh. That's kind of my feelings on it.
Oh, well, that's quite interesting. Because that obviously noises. Must mean then that the mixed feelings on that particular episode. I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah, you tainted me. You tainted me, actually.
Did I?
Mr. Pearson, yes, you did.
I tainted
you. Because you wrote on Facebook, I think it was on Saturday morning, You wrote something along the lines of, it might have been Friday night, is not sure if he's looking forward to Doctor Who on Saturday or something along those lines. And yeah. I thought, oh. Now, well, if you're not going to enjoy it, I don't know if I'm allowed to enjoy it.
No, it's not that. What I actually said was I'm not expecting to like it. I think that's basically what I was trying to say. From the preview, yes. The preview from last week made me think, I don't know, because that's another dark said. One.
And that tainted me. And so I was not expecting it to be any good or to enjoy it. And so I think that probably affected my view on it.
You get into that, you have low expectations of an episode. It turns out not to be as bad as, you know, originally thought. And that's what happened with me in this one.
I mean, I didn't hate it.
Hmm.
I thought the story itself was very interesting, interesting moral story. As Stephen Moffat said in The Confidential, that, you know, what would happen if these you know, slaves or the doppelgangers that you know, you'd made to do all the work that the humans didn't want to do, the dangerous stuff. What happens if then they started feeling emotions? What happens if they then, you know, actually thought they were the person who they'd been replicated from?
Yeah.
And as I said, morally, that was a really good place to try and go from, or yeah. even go to, or even get to, or even come back from, or whatever.
But that's a little bit like the, if you remember in Star Trek, when Data was trying to, he had a trial, didn't he, where
yes.
he was decided whether he was or wasn't sentient.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the best Star Trek episodes ever, and that seems to be a bit harking back to that.
Engage. Yeah, I love Star Trek Next Gen, by the way.
I prefer Voyager.
Did you?
Yeah, oh, no. I do love Next Gen. Don't Next get me wrong.
Next Gen was Voyager the best Star Trek.
Voyager is obviously a child of that particular story, but of all the Star Trek new series, Voyager was my favourite. I did love Next Gen, I must admit. It does have its own sort of time in the world of sci-fi.
I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Anyway, we'll
I agree. I love it. I do love but I'm not that keen on Deep Space Nine, but there are a couple of good episodes. Did you ever talk about, before we move back to Doctor Who, the Deep Space Nine episode that always springs to mind is I think it was an anniversary story where they... Sisko and that went back onto the original Enterprise and got involved in the Trouble with Tribbles episode.
I watched very few of the Star Trek spin-offs apart from Next Gen, which I think I've probably seen every one that was ever made. But
yeah, I have. I've got them all seven series on DVD, and I've never got round to watching the last one since I got it at home. So I've actually only seen the last series of Star Trek Next Generation once, which has got me thinking I should watch it again.
Well, we should maybe start our own podgram on... We could do our Star Trek Next Gen podgram.
Yeah, we've got plenty of time to do that, haven't we?
Don't we? Don't we? God, me with my 7 days a week free. Anyway...
Yeah, sorry, yes, we're talking about the Rebel Flesh... And the moral sort of lines the Doctor was trying to show and say, hang on a sec, this is a living thing, it's got a mind.
Which obviously came across lots near the end of the episode where the ganger had been shot.
Yeah.
And he was saying, you know, he had a heartbeat and you stopped
him. A human heart, yeah.
Yeah. That's where the whole that side of things came from, I think. I mean, I'm not saying it was a bad episode. I don't have the right... to say it was a bad episode if people enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It wasn't my... There was just something about it. I'm not sure what it was that I was just kind of... I was almost not bothered.
Mm. Well, I enjoyed it. I'm a bit disappointed that it is a two-parter. That's the only thing that gets me, because I'd prefer this style of story to be... a one-off one, rather like the last episode, Doctor's Wife, which was magnificent.
Yeah.
I think this could have stood on its own as a single part. I know, obviously, that the story wouldn't work as a single parter, but I wish that this type of story was perhaps just a one-parter.
Well, personally, I think they should do it one of two ways. You either have episodes that resolve in 45 minutes, but link throughout the series, or you just have a continuing... there's my phone ringing. one second, mate.
Continue. Yep. Okay, yep.
What had I said? So you were listening as well.
I was listening. I just got sidetracked because I've actually got Doctor Who playing on the telly at the moment. I was talking about single part or double part
stories.
That
was it. And how I think that, you know, they should either be... separate 45-minute episodes that resolve in 45 minutes, but are all linked to do the story arc for the series, or you have a kind of like a soap opera type thing where you get one long story, but different parts of the story in each episode, so it kind of resolves itself, that leaves questions.
I haven't actually got a problem with them having two-parters. I mean, if you look at the first two parts of the series, that was great as a two-parter. But this sort of scenario reminds me a little bit of a couple of series ago when we had the Satan Pit and Impossible Planet episodes.
Yeah.
That one sort of dragged out a little bit for me, and it was very similar to 42, which was a one-part episode.
I kind of, yeah, see what you're saying in that respect, and I think maybe that's what I had the issue with this episode. I'll tell you the big thing I had issue-wise with this episode.
What was the bowl of cat's milk that was bubbling? Oh no, that was a flesh.
It was that as well. Was I really stopped giving a monkeys about Rory?
Rory!
I thought during that episode so many times, that's out of character, that's out of character, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, alright, people do change, but that's not how I've grown to expect, or grown, I've learned to expect from Rory.
In relation to him chasing around Jennifer,
yeah.
You mean?
Yeah. I mean, the only time you've seen Rory go, you know, look at another female at all, apart from Amy, was
Curse of the Bad Plot.
What sirens do. Yeah. Now, I don't quite get what effect...
Well, I don't get the impression he's actually going after because he fancies her.
No.
I get the impression he's going after because he sees her as a vulnerable person and he's trying to protect her.
Yeah, I don't think he's actually... When I said looking at another female, I didn't mean that, you know, he was...
Yeah, I know what I mean.
But just that... I say it's just out of character. I just felt massively out of character for him. I just thought, you know, he's got Amy there, who, all right, we all know their relationship in the series. And I just don't think, you haven't seen him run off chasing somebody else, trying to be all macho and helpful for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know what it is, what he sees in this Jenny character, unless it's the Doctor's daughter. Regenerated, but kept the same name.
That remains to be seen. And you're presuming it, not presuming, you're trying to theorise. Is that what the word is? Theorise?
I'm just making it up.
Okay. Why did the Doctor stick his hand in the milk?
Well,
has he not got a brain?
And that also was just, you know, if the series splitting cliffhanger is as poor as the one on Saturday when, oh, what a surprise, another Doctor.
It's a Doctor, yeah.
You know,
didn't see that one coming, did we?
We can't see
the possibility that it might be that one that gets into the TARDIS with them when the episode ends, but obviously we'll have to wait and see on that one. But it's, you know, you're starting to think, is that actually going to be the case? And if these gangers are stable living entities which are complete copies of their originals, then that is a stable living entity Time Lord that looks exactly like a Doctor, so in theory can regenerate.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was going to come.
Which would annoy me if that turns out to be the case, as I've said earlier on in this episode, because Stephen Moffat said at the end of episode, well, not halfway through episode one, that is the Doctor, he is dead. So what's he saying? Is he saying that the Doctor we see from now on is the doppelganger Doctor for the rest of Doctor Who, which would annoy me.
In theory, allow it a new series of regenerations.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody wants to see a clone, which is technically what it is, because he said it's not a clone. This is a clone. These are clones. These doppelgangers. So
I couldn't agree with you more.
He's sort of fibbing a little bit if that actually happens.
Agree with you more, and I think it would be a really bad fit.
There's two scenarios that would really annoy me. One, if it turns out we're now going to be watching the doppelganger Doctor from forevermore, and two, if the whole thing is a dream of Amy, you know, that Amy's been dreaming.
I'd rule out the dream right away. The one thing I would theorise on, and this isn't spoilers, I don't know, it's just a theory, but could it be that the doppelganger Doctor shoots off into the future, you know, lives for 200 years, and he's the one who got shot in episode one? And then,
yeah, that did spring to mind, but are they really going to make it that simple at this half of the series? Because what Moffat said again was that the last episode of this half of the series, which is another two-parter coming up straight after this one, it's a two-parter. It's because it's got a cliffhanger, isn't it? It's the big game-changing cliffhanger. We've got this episode we're talking about, and then we've got the Almost People next week, which is a two-parter, obviously. And the week after that is the last one of this after the series, which is the first part of a two-parter.
Yes, of course it is, but it's only we only get to see one part now. What you were saying, you were technically correct.
Thank you very much.
It's a two-parter, but we're only seeing one of it.
Yeah.
Those
are the scenarios that would make me a little bit cross and very, very severely disappoint me.
Well, I personally think that, you know, there's obviously that as I've pointed out in previous episodes of your podcast, to me, there are signs there, you just got to spot them, and then when you've spotted the signs, you can almost piece together a jigsaw of what may, or even what could happen. Now, obviously, the alternate reality thing from the pirate one, that is going to play a massive part somewhere, either with Aiden's presence.
And there are also things from Series 1 that are going to play a massive part, because I've already had a flashback to the 11th Hour.
Yeah.
So there's some significance.
Well, I told you, that's the crack in Amy's wall.
Mm.
That is going to have some significance somewhere as well. Mm. And also, there was something else that I thought of the other day that was to do with that. There was something to do with the crack and something else.
Do you know what? It's just dawned on me.
What?
There was this Prisoner Zero thing, and obviously the first time you see the crack open, you see some bars, like a prison.
Yeah.
Hence Prisoner Zero. And these doppelgangers can stretch out their necks really long, that look a little bit like Prisoner Zero's thing, but they can also change their appearance to look like human beings. If you remember, well, he can, the Prisoner Zero itself can, change his appearance to look like a person, as long as he's got an original sort of copy to sort of mimic, if you like, because they had all those bodies in the hospital, didn't they?
Yeah.
And he was the man and the dog, because it was the man in the coma thinking about his dog. Uh-huh. So it came through as a man and his dog. Now, I've always thought, at the back of my mind, it's a bit strange that River is a prisoner. Is she either the same prisoner or perhaps in a prison, the same prison as Prisoner Zero at some point?
I've never given it the second.
I don't know how that would have any connection with it at all, but it's just it's always been at the back of my mind that there's some connection there. But anyway, moving on, not necessarily swiftly on, before I forget it, another thing that I thought was a bit odd, and I can understand in some ways why they did it, is when they showed the Jennifer doppelganger being created, which was quite clever when her
eyes and good mouth. Effects.
Up and her suit was also created.
They did say though that it replicated the clothes and everything entirely.
Oh.
They did say that.
Does that mean the clothes are living then?
Now that's a good point, actually. That's a very good point. Do you get... One thing I was thinking, just away from the episode, sidetracking slightly, is, are we ever going to find out who the face of Bo is? Because they made a lot of that for the first couple of series, now they've just forgotten it.
Well, it's Captain Jack.
Is it? That was never said. Definitely was. That's the general theory.
Well, they just went, no. No, it can't be. No.
But no, they've never confirmed who it was, have they? They've never definitely said, oh, Captain Jack.
Well, Russell D. Davis said it was, didn't he? More or less.
More or less. They've never actually, in a Doctor Who episode, have ever said, oh, Captain Jack is the face of Bo. They've given you all the hints that obviously he lives forever and all that kind of stuff, and he dies and comes back. But, you know, they've never therefore explained how his face grows so big and why it ends up in a big jar of water. Anyway, sorry,
Fair enough. A very interesting digression. Yes, carry on. Sorry.
Email us. But anyway, back to the episode. Yeah, it was. I'm sure it's going to have a big part to play in the actual series finale, if not the half-time finale.
Yeah,
I'll say, because there are always
the thing is,
there's a big bit as well. Just a little thing where
Doctor
and Amy were talking, and the Doctor told Amy to breathe. Now that's going to be significant in one way or another.
Okay. Just I didn't spot that one, so well done.
Because it's a nothing. It's a throwaway line that will come back.
What about the throwaway line when they're wandering into the castle and the Doctor says, right, here we are, here we go. And Laurie says, what are you talking about, Doctor? We haven't been here before.
Well, it did seem that he knew a bit more than he was letting on, didn't it, the Doctor? It seemed like he obviously knew what the living flesh type stuff was, and he'd encountered it before.
He said, I can put this right, I can put this right.
Yeah.
I think that's all to do with the time can be rewritten thing.
Well, maybe.
I think he knows he's being a McCoy Doctor from the Big Finish stories. He's manipulating things or attempting to manipulate things and having problems in achieving that.
Possibly. pushed even. I just, you know, generally, as I say, the story was, you know, next week we'll have to see how it turns out.
Yeah, it's just the fact that, you know, we've had this one, and next week we're going to have, we know what we're going to have, which is basically an episode of the same sort of thing.
But something obviously has got to be changed in it, or something in it has got to be kind of momentous in a way, so it leads on to something else. Or yeah,
the half series finale.
Which is going to obviously, you know, I think we're pretty much going to see two Doctors.
Yeah.
Which was
predicted.
Whether the
especially when the title of this story was called Gangers, and people already worked out that Gangers is, well, certain presenters from the Doctor Who podcast, shall we say, Tom to be precise, predicted that there was something to do with doppelgangers, and predicted all along that there'd been two Doctors running around for quite a long time now.
Well, I've heard the theory that there's been two Doctors, you know, running around for quite a while, and in fact there obviously has, because there's still David Tennant's Doctor with Billy Piper.
Yeah, that would make it three Doctors then.
Well, it would do, and that would just be getting really... But then again, as time and space and wibbly-wobbly-timey-wimey and all of that, there are actually as many Doctors as we want all running around the universe at the same time.
Yeah, but not necessarily, because apparently all the Time Lords are dead. So
well, no, but
the Time Lords being dead doesn't work.
But the Doctor's incarnation, it's still incarnations will still be popular.
I know, but that's saying if you can go back in time and see the fifth Doctor, shall we say, that means that in that period of time all the Time Lords exist. But so why can't the Doctor go back and see some of his old friends before the Time War? Obviously because it's time-locked, and all that means all the Time Lords have been wiped out in history. That's the confusing timey-wimey thing about this end of the Time Lords, the death of the Time Lords thing, because he's saying all the Time Lords are dead, but he travels backwards and forwards in time, so...
Well, exactly, so I don't know where I stand.
If all the Time Lords are dead and never existed to a certain degree, how was he ever born? Pardon?
How come the Doctor still exists,
though? Exactly.
But anyway, we'll let
it go.
We're
very deep here, but it's very interesting nevertheless. It's better than Curse of the Black Spot, I think, because obviously Curse of the Black... the bad plot, as they call it, because there wasn't really a plot with it. This has got a plot, and it's very, very, very well written, dialogue-wise. The tension there is well shot, the directed. So it's not too bad. No, it's quite Doctor Who-like, you know, as far as the style. It's a Doctor Who episode. Might be a good idea resolving. Sort of holding back on judgment until we seem...
Reserving.
Parts. Reserving! I was so close!
You were! Only a few letters away!
So, on the whole, we can sum up by saying it was okay.
It was okay. I mean, I think next week will be... You know, they've got to start answering some questions about the series and about the episode. And I think we'll, you know... As I've said before, Stephen Moffat is a very, very, very clever and very good writer. Everything you're seeing is for a reason. He doesn't put things in
before you
need to see.
Splendid. Right. So I'm wondering why the listeners may have noticed that Ben's voice has changed somewhat. We've decided to kick Skype out for the moment because
Microsoft bought it.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the fact that Ben is recording this end of the conversation works, so we can use that recording instead. So we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Anyway, right, so I think we better move on, because it's part of the same subject we're talking about, to the marvellous feedback from Mr. Robert Haynes.
All right, yes, let's do the next email, shall we? That starts, hello. I'll just point out now that because we've now changed the way we're recording it, I've got my headphones in so I can hear you. I'm talking into my phone, which I'm holding, but I've also got my microphone kind of balanced on my lap. So I'm trying to record this end of it.
So I've made it rather awkward for you. That's what you're trying to say, isn't it?
I'm covered in wires, put it that way. I feel like I'm
impossible. I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll see if I can actually... I've just pressed the wrong button. Let's see if I can actually read it out.
Right. Sorry, email.
You've got to it before me.
Yes, I have. It says, hello Adam, Ben, Alicia, Kirby, or should that be Barty and Alicia, along with Magic, the farting dog. half of my career dropped. First of all, thank you for the lovely figure for my feedback. I do send my feedback in because I love the podcast and Doctor Who. Perhaps, dear listeners, we can have some comments from you.
Yes, Robert is rather almost solo flying the flag for the feedback, not including Pordy, of course, who also sent some in. So,
but
yes.
What I love about that is the fact that you ask for feedback, I ask for feedback, and now people who send feedback are asking for feedback. Brilliant. Love it. Where was I? There we are. But I will continue my comments for this great podcast. Long may it continue. Is that enough sucking up?
Yeah.
Well, about the episode, I thought it was great. Lovely marrying together in various locations that they filmed at. You'd swear that it was all in one vicinity. The CGI exterior looks great, like it really is on an island. Great locations all around in this. I like it at the start. I like at the start that we had a bit on the mundane TARDIS life before the solar tsunami hit. Domestic TARDIS life, and he's put some
the playing darts in the console room.
I thought that bit made me smile. Actually, yeah. Darts in the console room made me wonder where the pool table was. But of course, he got rid of the pool room, didn't he?
Yeah.
And the doctor again checking on Amy's pregnancy. He should have asked Idris last week what she thought. Well, my wife said to me the other day she was just kind of falling asleep because I was watching it after it'd been on. She said, "Have you found out who the regenerating person was yet?" No. Anyway, it was nice when the storm hit that they assumed the crash positions. Rory didn't know where to go. Lovely Arthur Darville comedy.
Yeah,
I don't care about Rory this week. I did wonder about the pipe in the ground that read "danger corrosive," and that the doctor, instead of reading that, scanned it with a sonic screwdriver and came to the same conclusion. I love the way that someone actually makes notes for the episodes these days.
Yeah.
And when we learn about the flesh, we're told that it's learning to replicate itself. A bit of a plot foreshadow already there. Well, absolutely it was, wasn't it? What is it with the Doctor and
Ben, before, can I interrupt that? Do you remember the bit in the programme when the gangers are wandering around and they find the spacesuits?
Mm-hmm.
Not the spacesuit, the suits there, the acid suits. And one of the acid suits had a skull and crossbones on it, on its shoulder. I'm just wondering, does that have more significance with the pirate episode than... have previously thought, possibly, or is it just coincidence?
Well, as I said, I don't think you get Stephen Moffat writing things like that and putting things like that in for no reason. So we'll have to wait and see.
Back to Mr. Haynes.
What is it with the Doctor and his snow globe in this episode too?
He keeps on
getting out and looking at it in connection with a solar storm.
Yeah, that is weird. That's going to be resolved at some point, isn't it?
Well,
unless they just want to try and create a new line in merchandise.
A Doctor Who snow globe.
Yeah.
I don't know, actually, one thing... Hold on, I'm just going to put my finger on the screen so I don't lose my place on the email. I haven't understood, and maybe you can explain to me, what the Yood was doing in last week's episode.
Just sort of saving money and reusing costumes, I think.
Yeah, because I couldn't work out what it was doing there. Obviously, they explained how it got there, but it was kind of like, what? Why is there a nude there? Why don't you just get a Dalek to do it next time? You know, it just seemed a little bit... Yeah, we've got the costume, might as well use it. I'll leave that aside. What is it with the line, "I've got to get that cockerel before all hell breaks loose"? I never thought I'd say that again. Again, you know, maybe that's just Moffat playing with us, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a good point, that.
It is, yeah. I mean, but as we were just...
There's too many things to try and remember, that's the thing. Too many little lines that are said and little throwaway things that you're thinking, what's got the significance and what hasn't? And you know that when it comes to the final episode, when all these things are threaded together, that there'll be some flashback to something we've completely forgotten. And that's basically what this is all is. And it's just so confusing.
Well, you seem to be coming round to my way of thinking, which I was thinking right at the beginning of the series, that it's turning into Lost.
Yeah, I've never watched Lost, to be honest with you, so I couldn't really compare it.
Well, it's kind of the same kind of thing now. You're getting lots of questions, not a lot of answers, and there's so many things that you think, do I need to know that? Is that relevant? Is that not relevant?
Yeah.
And it just comes to the point where they'll start, doing the reveal, and you'll go, I don't remember that. I didn't even look for that bit. So, well, anyway, we'll have to wait. I'll continue. After the solar storm, Rory, for want of a better word, ow. Yes, that was a good one as well. But then I stopped caring about Rory because we became idiots. So after the Doctor falls from the tower and everyone is knocked out, we have another unexplained passage of time. This time, an hour. The Doc says, a lot can go wrong in an hour. We have Jennifer's, I thought I was going to die, and Rory's response, welcome to my world. Yeah, I like that bit as well. A nice nod to what's been happening to Rory in virtually every episode. I was actually surprised in this episode that Rory didn't die, but, you know, as it's a two-parter, there is still next week. A bit of a spoiler. Maybe I should not spoil what I read the other
day. If it's anything to do with future episodes, keep your gob shut.
But I'll tell you what, actually. I will not say again what I have already said, but I saw somewhere what I predicted was going to happen as the series cliffhanger. And I've said what I've said a couple of times in the last couple of weeks' podcasts, and I've read somewhere that it is going to happen.
Okay. So, well, that's cryptic enough.
Well, yeah, it is. And if it does happen, then I'll go, that was what I was talking about. And if even if it doesn't, I'll say, that's what I was talking about, and you'll never know. So I'll be right.
That's a good way of phrasing it.
Absolutely. Good way of always being right. We have... the TARDIS sinking in the acid. We didn't mention that at all, did we, really?
No, but it did emerge, didn't it? Was that in the preview?
Yeah, that's the preview of next week's episode. It kind of falls through the floor, doesn't it? I like the treatment of the material when we have the ganger Jennifer coming to terms with her own identity. Nicely done.
There's a
good sense of who the hell is who? Who real? Who's a ganger? I gather that there's five original humans with Miranda as the boss. I thought that the bit at the beginning with the way that Marshall Lancaster's ganger dying and the casualness of the way that he treats it really set up nicely for show for how the humans really feel about their clones, their ganger selves. So that when Miranda says us and them, it's echoed with the gangers. We get a real sense of that. It's truly us and them.
Yeah.
Though we have... hold on. I'm going to... I can't. That's better. Right. Though we have Rory and Jennifer trying to make peace, it seems that ganger Jennifer echoes Rory's kind of outsider feeling. What with him being the Doctor and Amy, which is why I guess that Rory took Jennifer. Took the Jennifer in her plight. Yeah, maybe that is why. Maybe it's kind of tin dog thing.
Maybe so.
Rory is the outside of the TARDIS crew. To me, that explains the length he's going to with ganger Jennifer. I thought it was a real Jennifer he was chasing after.
Because
the ganger Jennifer was the one, as real Jennifer was running away, ganger Jennifer was up on the ceiling going as she ran through the doorway near the end.
I don't know. No, you've confused me. Which isn't difficult.
It's good to see that we both pay a lot of attention whilst watching the episode.
I've watched it twice.
I've only watched it once, but I do remember that bit. Jennifer went through a doorway, and then it went up, and there was...
I'm not sure now. I'm not too sure which of the Jennifers that Rory is following around.
Well, we're not too sure.
I thought it was the ganger one.
We're not too sure which of the Doctors is going to be leaving the island.
Because wasn't there a bit when Rory was with the ganger Jennifer, and the other Jennifer is limping around the castle... And the woman who's in charge, ganger, says, "Well, the ganger Jennifer says, I'm just going to have to go and take care of the one that's still wandering around, which was the human."
Yeah. So I thought Rory was chasing around with the real Jennifer, not the clone one.
I don't know.
That's how I got it. Maybe you're wrong. Anyway, as he says here, there's a lot going on. With regards to the real Jennifer, we've got a spare one running around. Yeah, that was an interesting one. So we get the inevitable doppelganger Doctor as the flesh had him indeed learn to replicate itself. I don't understand why the Doctor was so fascinated by scanning the flesh so much. Yeah, that's true. Especially after first scanning it with a sonic screwdriver and it was scanning him. Yet, he went back. Surely, he must have had an inkling. Well, I think everyone watching the episode had an inkling there may be another Doctor turning up before too long. So, you know, hopefully the writers did too. So as these gangers are in essence as real as the real people...
Can I just pause you there? Because your sound is really starting to break up. Oh, it's come back clear again now.
Underneath my laptop. So,
well, all right.
Yes, I'm on back now. I have big signal.
Okay.
So as these gangers are in essence as the real people, just their forms haven't set properly yet. Therefore, the ganger Doctor is exactly like the Doctor. Does that open up the possibility of the Doctor we see at the start of the series being killed as the doppelganger? There we go. Not just me thinking that, then, is it?
Yeah.
Or is the Doctor they have been travelling with be the doppelganger? Or could the Doctor
be the doppelganger? But what about the possibility of a TARDIS being doppelganged? So what's the doppelganger doctor, or indeed the real Doctor, going to be travelling around with? Without, you know, if there's two, and that might point to the fact that why the Doctor without the TARDIS is 200 years old, because he hasn't had a TARDIS. He's just been wandering around trying to get to the point where he could meet Amy and Rory. But the TARDIS being the TARDIS being alive, could that have been duplicated by this stuff as well?
Well, it could have done, but the point there about the fact that if the doppelganger Doctor hasn't had a TARDIS, that explains why he's 200 years older, because he's just been hanging for 200 years, and then he knows where to get hold of the Doctor and everybody else.
Because the thing is, though, this is set in the future, isn't it, this story?
Yeah,
so he must somehow get back, he must be travelling around and being around for a while, or somehow get back in time.
What year was it set? How far in the future was it?
I'm not sure. But I'm fairly sure that the scene where the Doctor dies is set in the 1960s. No, it's present day. Then they go back to 1969. Actually, we're not sure what time it is, but there's Canton. Canton is an old man. So that would imply that it's actually set in present day. The scenes where the Doctor actually gets shot by the spaceman is present day. This stuff that we're talking about, Rebel Flesh, is obviously set in the future. So somehow he must get back in time. If this is actually the case, it's a doppelganger Doctor, he must get back in time 200 years or more. Oh, I don't know, it's very confusing, but yeah, there you go, sorry. Carry on.
The first 45-minute episodes that resolve themselves, and you don't have to sit there going, what's going on? I've got no idea. Which one's the proper Doctor? Anyway.
Yeah.
Then he says, is the TARDIS going to be replicated too? It's almost as though you've read the female performance.
Yeah, no, I haven't. That's a funny thing. Sorry, I love the surprise element of it, of hearing Ben read it out.
Yeah, that's why I don't read it either first, because I like firstly falling over every third word and also seeing if he matches what we think. He continues, does this flesh also stop at one Doctor? Well, that's another good point. Obviously, because if it managed to create one without having in the way it created one, why can't it just therefore create another one?
Now that would get in Harry Potter sort of scenario where they've got to chase around trying to kill off all the Doctors.
Maybe it's a doppelganger Doctor that gets shot at the beginning of the series, but hey, who knows? So we see the eye patch lady again, with only Amy seeing two. Also to be seen next week, I said that she looks like a child's nanny, while someone else said that she looks like a midwife. I think her first appearance as the proper character comes in the first part of the season splitting
finale
story.
Yeah.
Remember that when I gave my feedback that I don't know what you've discussed. No, we don't know what you're going to write. So we kind of go over some points twice. It's good to hear. So feel free to gloss over anything that's extraneous. You may have already talked about things that I've mentioned. Yes, but the fact that you then mentioned again, as I just said, means that it's good that there's more than me or Adam just thinking that that thought.
Yeah.
So certainly a better episode than Fear Her, Matthew Graham's previous Doctor Who episode.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know, I quite like that one. But you don't. that's the Olympic one, isn't it, Fear Her?
It is.
Yeah. Why is it that Marshall Lancaster seems to like his life on Mars / Ashes to Ashes character? At least we have no NAF Doctor with the Olympic torch moments. Not yet. Yes.
Wait till not next yet, that's year. Right. It's a very good point.
Wait till next year. There'll be another Olympics episode next year.
Yeah.
The series is coming along nicely for me. This is more of the traditional type of Doctor Who stories, so that's nice too. I did want to mention with this feedback, in case you haven't brought it up, but in regards to the Doctor's wife, some people have mentioned to me that when we hear the Time Lord's messages from the Ood, Ood's repaired communicator, that we hear one clear voice that says something along the following lines: if you are receiving this message, please help me send a signal to the High Council on Gallifrey. Tell them I'm still alive. I don't know where I am. Oh, yes, some planet. But surely that is just going to be the back to the silence of the library where they were getting picked off by the shadows.
Yeah.
Not Cliff Richard's ex-backing band. That'd be really bad if they started whacking people over the head.
Well, it's just, ironically, sounds very similar to our theme tune. Our theme tune always reminds me of Apache by the Shadows.
Yeah, it does me as well, actually. Mm. Yeah. But yeah, you know, when they died and you just got the echoes of them.
Yeah.
That's what I took back.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Just from the boxes. That's what I took it to be anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's been brought to my attention that this Ood indeed sounds very much like the Eighth Doctor, Paul McGann. No. Do you know what? I've read a lot of stuff over the last couple of weeks again, because I've been hitting the message boards again, because I got all excited last week, less so this week. And a lot of things I've read say that Paul McGann is going to make an appearance in this series.
Oh, that would be lovely.
But, well...
That'd be good. I'd be pleased.
You know, no, it would be good. Yeah, of course it would. Yeah, absolutely. I'm not saying it wouldn't be good. I just don't think it will happen.
No.
I don't know why.
I don't think so either.
But then again, saying that...
A brilliant piece of keeping stuff quiet, even though there's been rumours. If he is in it, a magnificent...
If it's only for 5 minutes or something.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, yeah, sorry, carry on.
But then again, you know, crossing timelines. Oh, God, here we go again.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, I'll have to watch that bit again, see if I can single out that piece of audio, see if I can make my own decision if it sounds like Paul McGann or not. Well, that's all my ramble for now. Sorry it's a bit over the place, but I am at the moment. All the best, Robert. P.S. We have a P.S. At the end of your last podcast, you played your first podcast bit, and I was reminded that I have to ask you the question, why don't you start with, without any further ado, let's talk about Doctor Who anymore?
Because
it's
I forgot.
No, because it was great.
No. It was a case, once you forgot once, and you carry on. It was always the intention to begin the show without further ado, let's talk about Doctor Who. But, yeah, basically I kept forgetting and it died.
We could reinstate it by doing different things as well, just by making them rhyme if you like. I've had a poo, let's talk Doctor Who.
True.
Remember that one?
Yep. Alicia and Magic do a lot of farting and burping on the... Well, Magic doesn't burp on the show, so that would be relevant and in tune with the podcast. But nevertheless, thank you very much, Robert, and I'm not going to ever say to you, please don't send any more feedback, because it is quite an important part of our show, your feedback and everybody's feedback. I'm not going to reel out the email addresses this week, because it seems that ever since I've made a particular point of reading about, people haven't bothered sending anything in. But you can see our contact addresses via the blurb and the show notes, etc. So,
can I just say something at that point?
Yeah?
Cows go moo, let's talk Doctor Who.
No, that's crap. Okay. But... yeah, that's throwing me off now. What was I talking about? To do with Robert and...
The TARDIS is blue. Let's talk Doctor Who.
I was going to say something that's gone out of my head now. Oh, God. Oh, dear. Right, hang on. I'm trying to rewind. like I say, without Robert, and Robert is really, and Pordy this week, are actually single-handedly keeping this particular section of the show alive. We do rather miss... It's like we used to get regular feedback from Techerman James. Do you remember him?
Yeah!
Whatever happened to Techerman James? Maybe the show got too long for him, I don't know, but...
I miss him.
Yeah, I miss him desperately. I don't know what's going on. Is he still out
there? Maybe he just listens now.
That'd be good. But it'd be nice to know that he's still listening.
He made some really good audio as well.
That was a brilliant audio.
Yeah.
But there you go. So, listeners, yes. Now, if you like the feedback section of this show, it's probably a good idea to contribute to it occasionally, because obviously without people contributing feedback, there wouldn't be any. So you're on a bit of a vicious circle then. Obviously, if you don't want feedback, don't send any in. We won't feature it. There we go.
I'll just make it up.
Indeed. So, I've now got a rather long period of editing ahead of me, and thanks to various communication problems connected with Kirby and yourself, Ben. So, I think I should really get on with the editing, and thank you once again, as ever, for joining me on the show this week, and obviously we've got next week, it's going to be a bit of a problem, because I'm only going to be available on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, on the Monday, simply because I'm away at the Take That concert the weekend, so I won't be able to record until Monday, basically. And Kirby says he can record on Monday, so I'm hoping you're going to be available. But that means I've got to try and work out how to set up a three-way Skype call.
I'm sure it can be done.
But I've got to look into that.
But I can only do Monday next week, actually, because we're away on Tuesday.
Oh, well, that's good then. That opens up opportunities, because that means Alicia will be here. So we could, for the first time ever, have all four of us together in a podcasting sense.
Well, we'll have to see how it goes, because, as you know, being married, wives sometimes change plans without letting you know.
Yeah, and so, mine's pretty adept at doing that herself, but I'm hoping
that
there will be an option, because he said he's got the day off. So, and Alicia could be, the only problem could be Alicia wanted to hang around with her famf, as she calls them, because obviously been away all weekend. Monday will probably be the first day she'll have an opportunity of doing that. So we'll see. Hopefully it'll happen.
We'll see.
Isabella will be here.
Hooray!
But anyway, right, so better get back on. Thanks, Ben. And
thanks, Adam.
I'll see you again next week.
Yeah, see you next week. Bye, Podgrammers.
Bye.
Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.